the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
What's going on? I am Brandt, and producer Sherry is here. So thank you for listening. We're honored. And by the way, if you ever want to just kind of comment on the show and extremely nice and complimentary way, go to, it's just 855-90-BRANT. Mm-hmm. 855-90-BRANT.
And most people do follow those rules.
Yeah, and we appreciate that.
Yes. So. And others don't.
And no, they don't, and it's fine too. And we love you as well. We love everybody. 855-90-BRANT. Got a question here from a listener I wanted to share with you. It was, Brant, have you spoken at any super hip cities lately? And as a matter of fact, I was in Miami on Friday.
Were you?
Yeah, speaking at the International Boat Show.
Just so you know, this music you pick screams Miami Boat Show.
It's very hip and cool down there. And they invited me into this hip, cool environment to speak about Unoffendable.
Did you feel hip and cool while you were talking?
Very cool.
Good.
Very hip. Mm-hmm. And last year they had Tony Dungy speak for this, who's like a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then they had an NBA team owner the year before that.
Wow.
And they had all these big people, and then they had me this year.
My goodness.
I know.
Yeah.
I acknowledged that actually while I was speaking.
Uh-huh.
I was like, was Tony Dungy here last year? And they were like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm really sorry, you guys. I don't know what happened. Everybody
was he not
started,
available this year?
Honestly, everybody what started happened? Laughing. Like, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know who backed out, why they called me, but
let's plow ahead.
Here we are. Yeah, no, Friday was Valentine's Day and everything. Let's talk about love.
It was Thursday, actually.
It was Thursday. I know that. I know what I'm talking about.
I know you do.
Okay. But the thing is, what I was going to say, which I think was going to be really hard hitting, was about love itself.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could get this straight. I know we hear people say this. It sounds cliche, like what love really is. It's a decision. It really is.
Mm.
And I wish we could get that. Love has nothing to do with I desire something. Because we think that's what it is. Like, love is I desire you. I desire, like every song practically on pop radio for decades, that's the idea behind love. I desire you in some way. And it's not. It's wanting the best. It's willing the best for somebody else. Then I love them.
Mm.
And I can do that for my enemies if I want, like, God's blessing on them. But that's love. And that's love in a marriage, it's love in a friendship, it's love, period. Like, it's having the audacity to say, I want what's best for you, and that's what I'm rooting for. So Jesus tells this story, and I learned it as a kid. There's even a little song about it, and I love talking about this on the air, because he makes such a... he's wonderful. I mean, the things he says, so freeing. And so true. But he talks about how if you hear his words and then act on them, you obey them, it's like a man who builds his house on a rock. And then when you have tragedies or circumstances that come and hit you, and they will, you'll be fine. Or you can just hear what he says, talking about Jesus, saying what he said about himself. He said, you can hear my words and you don't act on them. Then you're like a man who builds his house on the sand. And then when the problems come, everything collapses. But I just think that's so important to go, okay, it's not just me listening to this. I actually have to do the stuff he told me to do. So I actually have to read the parts of the Bible that talk about what Jesus said to do, and I have to act on those things. And that is the key. It's not just patting myself on the back because I listened to something, or I heard a song about something, or I heard a guy on the radio talk about something. I was like, I want to do the stuff he actually told me to do, like praying for my enemies, that kind of stuff. Every day before you hear this program, I, Brant Hanson, awake early and I go into the content fields and I hand select content for this program based on whether or not it would be of value to you.
Sure.
As you listen, hopefully it's something that you appreciate. But there's so much content, I look at it, I'm like, I don't want that, not that, not that. And then I hand select artisanally,
sure,
like the finest content that can possibly be brought.
Well, it is a field.
And I bring, yes, and then I come in from the fields in time for the show, and I bring it to you. Here's some content that I didn't select. Like, this is not good enough.
Oh, okay, you're showing us what didn't make the
cut. This was in the news. The headline says, man falls short of local meatball record. And I'm not making this up. This is in the news. In Italy, a man went to the hospital after he attempted to set a local record for eating the most meatballs. He became sick after consuming 27. The record in the town where he lives is 42. And that's the end of the news story. That's not good enough.
No.
That's why I'm not going to bring this. Like, okay. I don't even know where this, why 42, 27, I don't care.
So you're walking up and down the fields of content, right. And you saw the meatball story.
That's something I would look at, carefully handle, set back.
Okay.
Because it's not good enough.
Now it's here now. So,
right, but as an example here, there's all sorts of stuff like this. I just leave in the fields.
You have two baskets, the actual content basket and then the example basket. Like,
that's the example basket, and you're never going to hear that one again because it's not good enough. Don't know if you've ever gotten the scam online. I bet you have. The scam where somebody is like, oh, if you just give me a little money, then I can free up millions of dollars from somebody.
Yes.
And then they'll get out of prison, and then we'll be able to give you, and you'll make millions. That dates back to the 16th century, I was reading, by the way. They used to use that scam.
Really?
Yeah, it was like, I just need some money to bribe the jailer, and then this guy will be so happy that you helped him, and then we're going to give you...
That's interesting.
It is funny. But it's based on a cognitive bias, actually, which is the sunk cost fallacy. Or, like, once you've done it, and this is why when it works, it really works. They'll be like, hey, we just need $100 or something. Once you put in your $100, they'll come back and go, hey, we just need $1,000 more. Knowing that the weight behind the fact that you already did 100 will make you want to go ahead and do the 1,000.
Wow.
Because that's how we work. Like, once we've invested something, we will keep doubling down and doubling down because we've already done it. Instead of just going, no, I'm going to change. I have to rethink this. I have to rethink. And the reason I bring this up is because a lot of people go through their whole lives, and we all do this. But unfortunately, people have gone through their whole lives being wrong about something. But because they've been wrong for so long, it's like, well, I'm going to just finish my life here on my own terms because this is how I've always done it. Well, that's too bad. Just because you've done it for 40 years, 30 years, Jesus is coming along going, I need you to rethink and turn around. But unfortunately, there's so much weight behind, but I've been doing it my way for so long, and I can see it's not working, but I'm going to keep doing it. Like, no. That's the sunk cost fallacy. Don't do that. You should actually be able to rethink, and you're going to be better off instantly. Pretty amped about this. We have a giant prize wheel here that we have secured, and we give away prizes with it. You ready for this, Anne? You want to do it?
Absolutely. I'm down.
Okay. So
all right.
The old prize wheel. It's kind of neat. Every other space on the prize wheel, there's only two prizes you could win. One prize is $18 million in Kohl's cash. You can win that. Or the alternating spaces, if it lands on one of those, is an inspirational quote about success from Booker T. Washington. That's good.
What? You can't lose either way.
You can't. I just don't know that I've ever heard Kohl's cash and Booker T. Washington mentioned in the same sentence. But here we are.
My show.
You're right. Oh, I'm celebrated.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it for Black History
Month. No,
I'm
who would?
It.
Who would, Brant?
I'm doing it.
I know.
All right, here we go. Oh, you have to say, Brant, spin that wheel.
Brant, spin that wheel.
We're spinning the wheel. Right. $18 million. Inspirational quote from Booker T. Washington.
Okay, so close.
All
really
right.
Close.
And this will apply to your life and the things that we now know about you, Anne.
Absolutely.
Success, says Booker T. Washington, is to be measured not so much by the position one has reached in life as by the obstacles which she or he has overcome while trying to succeed.
Spot on.
Yes, man.
You nailed it.
Forget that Kohl's cash.
Who needs Kohl's cash?
Yeah, who needs Kohl's cash?
Yeah, thank you. Got this question, and I occasionally get this question from people because we like to talk about Jesus here on our show and the things he said and did and things he taught us, who he is. I have people go, yeah, you know what? I'm down with the Jesus stuff. Basically, I'm paraphrasing what they're saying. I get it. The red letters in the red letter Bibles, things Jesus said, okay. But the rest of the Bible, kind of like, yeah, not so much. Here's my response to that. If you're really paying attention to the red letters, it's a lot of quoting the other stuff in the Bible. It's a lot of it. it doesn't mean that you just engage it without your brain and mm-hmm. you think it's all there to be studied like a math textbook.
Right.
So maybe there's a story where Jacob steals a blessing from his brother. Mm-hmm. Well, you could say, well, it's in there. It means we're supposed to do that. It's not what it says. It just said that guy did that.
Right.
So you got to understand context and literature styles and whatnot, but Jesus clearly thinks it's authoritative. So if I'm going to be a Jesus follower, I'm going to do the same thing. It's going to be authority for me. Hope you had an awesome weekend. And before that, awesome Valentine's Day and everything. This guy didn't, be honest with you. But his reaction was, I think, mature and measured. His girlfriend broke up with him and they were supposed to go to a movie. So he did, I think, the logical thing in this sort of situation. He bought out the movie theater. He bought every other seat at this movie theater. It had assigned seats. Mm-hmm. So he bought every other seat so that no other couples would be able to sit together. Just to teach everybody a lesson since his girlfriend broke up with him.
Yeah.
So he spent a lot of money to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But he sent a very, I think, again,
it's measured.
A measured, yes. Mature response to your own frustration would be to just make sure no one's happy. Yeah. And to spend whatever it takes.
To keep everyone as unhappy as you are.
Good job, sir. Yeah, we were just talking about Jesus and the Bible and how he's quoting it all the time. So if people, and we've heard this before, people are like, hey, you can't just use the Bible to hit people in the head with it. And of course we agree with that. At the same time, Jesus is quoting from it like it's an authority. And he's saying he's the focus of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all building up to him. I think that's the problem, is when we forget that.
Yeah, because you can't have him without it.
Right.
Yeah. That's
but if people want it without him,
right.
I mean, some
yeah.
people would be like, Bible, 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 Bible. Like, hey, let's talk about Jesus, because Genesis to Revelation, it's all about him.
Yes.
So it's weird if you want one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, you know, the bad experiences I've gone through those two, but don't let that scare you away from actually reading it and seeing the good news, because it's actually really exceptionally good news. Hope you had an awesome weekend. Welcome to the Honesty Cafe. My name is Brant and Sherry is here, and we love to talk with listeners about stuff. We have Lisa on with us, and she's a mom with four kids, 11
eight,
to 16
yes.
or something.
Oh yes,
a lot going on. So here is the question. It has to do with the dream you've like given up on or kind of let go. What would you say on that?
Looking like I have it all together.
Huh.
Yeah.
Kind of gave that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's over. Four kids at the ages you have. That'll make you give it up, won't it?
Like, I'm an on-time person, and I like to be places on time, if not early.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just had to let that go and just say, we arrived, and maybe we're skidding across the finish line.
That dream.
Sailed off into the sunset.
Dream of being on time is gone.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Two dreams, the impossible dream to be
yes.
at my appointment on time.
Yes, yes. You crescendo.
Thank you.
You can call it giving up or just like, maybe like manifesting into who you really are going to be, and that dream is just no longer
moved on
a realistic thing. Mm. And so, yeah, I mean, I used to be want to be a country singer when I was little. I just want to be a teacher, basketball coach, and now I'm settling, not settling, that's a terrible word, but now I'm going to be a social worker, which is a terrible word.
Okay.
Which, man, everything I wanted to be has gotten me to this point where I want to be a social worker.
Hang on a second. And it's going to be a social
worker. I promise
too.
You, I knew this was going to happen. When you said country singer, I said in the back of my head, this is how long I've been working with Brant Hansen. I said, he's going to go get the guitar and he's going to try to help her.
That's my question.
I knew it. Oh,
why can't
my
we?
I guess we can, Brant.
Why can't we? We
I guess
can.
We can.
We
All
can.
Right.
And
well, and we will. Oh boy.
You got to know when to fold them. You go.
Know when to fold them.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Oh, well, you did good. You did
yeah,
good.
That was really good.
Dream accomplished.
Check, check, check.
Okay, mark that one off.
So you watched the Fyre Festival documentary?
I
recommended it.
You did. Very rarely, as you all know, am I speechless. I literally watched that with my mouth open, like.
All right. Well, it's on Netflix, I think.
Ooh, yeah, it is.
I can't remember. Okay, so.
Oh my goodness.
Fyre Festival's FYRE.
Of course it is.
A couple years ago, I became aware of this after it was already going on, mm-hmm. but apparently it was this Instagram thing, right? So this guy and his compatriots started this ultra cool festival for the totally hip.
Mm-hmm.
This guy just specialized in that sort of thing. He'd started businesses before for millennials with money.
Where you just feel like you're a part of this elite. That's the thing. Yeah, you want to feel elite. Yes.
Most fashionable. So it's like Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to have it on this abandoned island in the Bahamas. And they promised, like, just they had all these Instagram models and everything out there.
Influencers, which is so interesting because they kept using that title for people.
Influencers.
And I was like, whoa, that's an actual profession, I guess.
Yeah, influencer. Absolutely.
You're just an influencer. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so you get paid to hashtag Fyre Festival. This is mm-hmm. before they even had any clue about how to make a festival happen.
That's correct. They didn't have any bands. They didn't even have really the land. They had nothing.
They had nothing.
They just started promoting.
They just start.
The idea.
Talking. And it was like $3,000 or $5,000 just to go to the festival, just for buy the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have to fly to it. And it was supposed to be this luxury experience, luxury villas and luxury this and that. And it's catered by these 5-star chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to hobnob with all these attractive people who are just the elite of the elite, cool, awesome, fashionable people.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the hip, cool artists that were going to be there.
Yep.
And it was just going to be this amazing event. Well, as it turned out, it could not have been a bigger disaster.
Oh my goodness.
And they refused. And this was part of the thing too. It's not a spoiler alert. I told all of this to Sherry before she watched it.
Yes, you have to watch it. I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's like... you can see the crash coming
mm-hmm.
because they don't know what they're doing. Like they have no funding for it. You know what's going to happen. It's a train wreck. You know it's going to be a train wreck. But the people are still coming. And instead of calling it off, for some reason, they still allow it to go on.
And it's the silencing of anyone who raises their hand slightly
and says, I don't think
we should. Because I remember specifically where they could have gotten out and they would have been okay, is the guy says, you can't have the... He took his wife, if you remember this or not, and he goes into the luxury villas or whatever. And that's when he determines this can't be done.
Right.
And so he goes to the guy and says, and this is a guy who's an engineer. You hired him for a reason.
Right.
His professional opinion is this can't be done.
Right.
And instead of just saying, okay, well, I guess we can't do it. Or maybe, we let that guy go.
Like, yeah, get rid of him.
Yep.
No one's allowed to say anything negative.
That's right. And that was specific too.
Right.
Like, I only want positive things. Okay, I'm positive this is going to be
a
train wreck.
Positive, our caterer just backed out with 6 days left.
And
we got thousands of people coming here.
Yes.
And they're expecting this luxury thing. Well, when people land, first of all, they get on this plane that's not what's promised. They're
mm-hmm.
crammed in this sub-commercial sort of plane instead of a luxury plane.
And then when they land, they have to get on the school bus.
They get crammed on the school bus. And the luxury villas are these refugee tents that are lined up on rocks.
Yes.
It's not even... And then everything's soaked, like the mattresses.
Because it rained.
Everything's in boxes.
And you know what I remember the guy saying? The guy who just keeps protesting, but because they're holding 70% of his salary, he has to keep going through it. He said the night before, it's just a torrential downpour. And he said, I remember just busting out laughing and saying, well, at least they won't get away with it. Because without the rain, you may be able to say it's a luxury tent, blah, blah, blah. But now everything's going to be soaked. He said, I just remember sitting there just laughing like, yep.
I've been to refugee camps. It totally looked like
that. Yes, it did.
And then when people arrived, they were like, they were still posing and doing duck faces and selfies, still thinking they were the hip,
cool. And they're drinking and they're going to the bar.
Like,
they
still
find
posing.
A bar to take. Yes.
Just posing. Everybody the whole time is posing.
Yes.
And they're still posing until it dawns on them like, oh my goodness. And then the sun goes down and then it's Lord of the Flies. Once the sun goes down, then it's every man for himself.
They were where they said there's a woman just running with a big thing of pillows. Like, where are you going?
Just
like,
running with a box of pillows.
Yeah, you just start grabbing stuff.
Right.
And bedlam. Yeah, and I also remember when, like, it's getting dusk, right? And you're starting to wonder, where is, like, what are we? And he tells the DJ, he keeps telling the DJ, turn the music up.
Yeah, the head guy he smiles and he talks a good game. I guess he's attractive or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just charming.
Yeah.
And so you want to believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody just follows along and tries to make it like, yeah, this is going to be cool. This guy knows what he's doing. He did this before, right? I mean, he did this other thing, and right? And
now, let me tell you this in full transparency. As I'm watching it, no, I don't think I'm that guy, right? Because there was something definitely wrong there. But I did connect with the part as a person who has done productions and has had to promote those productions.
Right.
And has had to promote them without the script being written.
Right.
Like, literally, I'm making flyers for something I haven't written yet, right?
Right.
I have a bunch of actors on. They're all ready to go. There is no script, right? So I could feel that emotion of, Lord, is this gonna, and just being on that train and praying to God it doesn't end up that way. Like I said, I'm not that guy. It's not a shady operation or anything, but I do understand specifically promoting something. And I mean, we can understand this with the Misfits and things. You're promoting it,
right?
And it makes sense in your head,
right?
And you've practiced it, but ultimately, will the full thing from beginning to end?
I hate the thought of hurting somebody. And I think that's the big difference.
Yes,
there.
I'm
not trying to put us on a better moral plane.
No, but that guy clearly didn't mind.
No, like, I'm gonna crash this plane.
Yeah.
If it crashes, it crashes. But everybody along is getting hurt. Now, the very second you thought, oh my gosh, I could be taking these actors, all these people that invested
in me.
And I'm gonna hurt them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bailing.
Yes, that's true.
Out, man.
That's true.
I don't want to hurt anybody.
That's true.
So it's fascinating to watch.
And I didn't realize how many of the Islanders were caught up in it.
Okay, well, that was tragic.
That was.
Originally, it was supposed to be this abandoned island. Well, they didn't ever buy the island. They didn't have money for it. They didn't have money for anything.
Anything, right.
So then they tried to con people into giving them more money. The people who were booked to come, the people who had booked, you know, I'm going to be at the super cool festival. Like, hey, you need to load up your bracelet ahead of time. That's what you'll use to pay for stuff.
Yeah.
So send us a couple $1,000s and then we...
And people were doing it.
And they're using that to front just basic stuff getting these tents built or whatever.
Right.
But they originally, the abandoned island fell through because they didn't pay for it. They wound up on Grand Exuma, which is a very populated island.
Mm-hmm.
And they just got this corner of a beach, sort of a rocky area, gravel and stuff. And they took pictures of it from a certain angle. So it
and
still
manipulated
looked like an
the map.
Island.
Yeah.
Right.
They manipulated the map. Yes. Yep. So that it would look like it was something that really wasn't.
So when the people arrived and got on a school bus and went through a city, they were like,
wait a
what?
Minute. This isn't elite
right,
at all.
This is not elite at all. They did, excuse me, they did all of that in order to fool people.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating, again, because you wonder about I thought a lot about the power of a personality to mislead people.
Yes.
You know, people just fall into line with the dream that we're so cool.
Right.
If he makes you feel good about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it all goes down, he's not humbled.
No.
And all the team, they've all been made to look like fools.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have, none of them have been paid correctly or anything. Mm-hmm. Well, they have like a debrief meeting.
Right.
And some of them are on Skype and some are sitting in a room. Well, Ja Rule, the hip hop guy, is he hip hop?
Yeah, he is hip hop.
All right. So
just want to, as a person who loves hip hop, back in the day hip hop, anybody who stands up and Ja Rule's like, follow me, and you say, okay, already there's a problem there.
Okay.
Yeah, so, okay, go ahead.
So he doesn't have that much cachet.
No, not that we would be like, yay, Ja Rule's going to lead us.
So they were still, after this thing was a complete humiliation, a near riot.
Yes.
People were locked in the airport for 24 hours without water.
And food, yes.
They had nothing.
Yep.
Like it was like they were being held hostage.
Yep.
They were taking videos like being held hostage.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to connect to social media so they could get out to, you know, their friends in the U.S. Go, look what's happening to us. Can you help us get out of here?
Right.
after all of that, these guys who were completely had blinders on, didn't want to hear anything negative. Mm-hmm. At the end, they're still spinning it positively. Mm-hmm. And Ja Rule is like, no, we learn from this. We bounce back. We use, hey, all publicity is good publicity. Let's turn. And these people are like, no.
Right. Yes.
Finally, they're just like, no, we're not listening to you
right.
anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And the original guy who you partnered with Ja Rule or kind of mm-hmm. was the head guy. Starts another project yeah. that's a sham.
And starts sending stuff to the people that he
already
took
built.
A, yes.
And he's on parole. Like, not on parole. He's on bail.
Mm-hmm.
So while he's loose on bail, he starts another sham.
Yep.
And propagates it.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it is really, you really marvel, again, at that narcissistic personality
yes.
disorder.
Like yes.
The level to which you do, if no empathy.
Yeah.
You
and that's the difference when
stuff?
I, yeah, when I say, I think the reason why I was constantly concerned during the production is because I did have that empathy and I did realize
right.
I have people's lives here. I have people, you know what I mean?
And you're not and going, no negative anything. No,
no
one can say
no,
anything.
No, no. In fact, tell me if this is, I would say that
right.
often. Tell me if this is going to fall apart so that it doesn't have to fall apart. We can just quit now.
Of course.
And move on to something else. Yeah. I encourage people to watch it. It's. My mouth was literally open. Like, whoa.
There's some pretty mature stuff in there.
There is, yes, yes, there is.
So, yeah.
Be
it's
careful
pathetic.
With that. But I think, yeah, you're right. Just the fact that people just blindly somehow they get that vision or whatever that person put in them,
mm-hmm.
and against all evidence to the
just
contrary,
want to believe in it so bad.
Yes, like I remember the one guy saying, and he's like, "Well, I was thinking of Woodstock."
Yeah.
And I was thinking all the bad things that happened there, but all we do is remember the music.
So let's, yeah. So maybe this will be a disaster.
Yeah.
We'll still pull it out because
right.
he's still smiling and he's still like, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good grief. Yeah. Man, the persuasive power of some people is just like a big smile and charm. Look out.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast. Sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blast Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.